Good morning. You would think that after two and a half years, I would stop getting nervous coming up here. My heart is pounding right now. I don't know. This happens every Sunday. I just don't often talk about it. I'll get over myself eventually, maybe 7 or 12 years from now. We have a new Wednesday night series coming up, and I was kind of torn with what to do in this series. I don't even know if it's called a series, but I want to have a time of questions. I want you all to submit questions, and we could maybe, I haven't even talked to anybody about this. We might record it, since these questions are probably interesting to everybody. We might record it so that we can answer the questions and go back to them when we want to know the answer to the question. So I want you all, the church, to submit questions, questions that you all have, maybe as new believers, maybe as older church members, maybe as younger children, questions from the church for the church. Like, can anybody think of any of these questions right now? I've gotten one question. Believe it or not, the question was about tithing. So, amen. Yes. The first question that I received was about tithing, which people don't want to hear about in churches, but it's a question that somebody had. So I'm going to answer the question. So if you have a question, which I hope, I don't know how many people are here today, we should all have questions. I am the pastor of the church, and I still have questions. If you grab your bulletin, my name, Pastor Brother, that is not my legal name. My name is Tink. That is also not my legal name. Hayden, and my phone number, my cell phone number, please don't bother me all the time, is 859-481-2166. You can text me your question. I am not going to answer it via the text message. I'm going to use it for our Wednesday night series. And Jeff's going to help me with this at some point. And we're going to make miracle answer questions. I just wanted to say her name because I knew she'd get really nervous. But yes, if you're sitting at work on Monday and you think, I wonder what the Bible says about whatever, text me and say, hey, this is for the Wednesday night series. If you're a person that doesn't often come to Wednesday night, I will seek to answer the question. I'll give you a response. But even if you don't come to Wednesday night and you have a question, please send it to me. One, because it's going to create content for us for Wednesday night. And two, I want to answer the questions that you all have. Okay? We get that? Good. Last week on Sunday, we discussed the friendship between Paul, Philemon, and Onesimus. Man, those names are hard every single time. Paul's plea to Philemon was to forgive Onesimus of his wrongdoing and to accept him as a Christian brother. Today, in the friendship series, and also next week, we will discuss the friendship between Ruth and Naomi. Ruth is one of my favorite books in the Old Testament. One, because it's short. Two, because it's real easy to understand and very applicable. So we are going to cover the book of Ruth over the next 2 weeks. And we're going to read the whole thing. And it's going to seem like we're moving fast because we are moving fast. And I'm not going to explain every single detail about Moab and all these things. We're going to skim the surface and we're going to focus on the friendship and relationship between Ruth and Naomi and eventually Boaz. So the purpose of this 2 week flyby of the book of Ruth is, in light of our knowledge of Jesus, in light of our own personal salvation, what kind of friend are we to be, and what kind of friends are we to look for? Let's read it. Ruth, chapter 1, the whole chapter, in the ESV. James, you gave the people some King James version. For you King James people, you got your ears tickled this morning. I can't read the King James. I just can't. I'm not anti-King James. I just can't do it. So we're reading in the ESV this morning. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab. That's not Moab, Utah. He and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These took Moabite wives. The name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth. They lived there about 10 years, and both Mahlon and Chilion died, so that the women the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. So I don't want you to miss this. I'm going to pause for a minute. If you miss this connection, you're going to miss the whole tragedy of the story. Here's what we've got. Elimelech was a man married to a woman named Naomi. They have two sons. The two sons married two women named Orpah and Ruth, and then the two sons died. So we had Elimelech with two sons. They're dead. We're left with Ruth, Naomi, and Orpah. Everybody follow that? Yes, hopefully. Then Naomi rose with her daughters-in-law to return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the fields of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she was with her two daughters-in-law, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go return each of you to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband." Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, even if I should have a husband this night and should bear sons, would you therefore wait till they are grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is exceedingly bitter for me for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." Then they lifted up their voices and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her God." So Orpah left. "Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or return from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts me from you." And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. So the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. And when they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the women said, "Is this Naomi?" She said to them, "Do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went away full, and the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me?" So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, with her, who returned from the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest. That is a lot of story, and that's only half of it you're going to get today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that we, over the next several weeks, as we discuss Christian friendship, I pray that we're encouraged. I pray that some of us regroup. Some of us may not have Christian friends. I pray that this is a time where we analyze and assess our lives, and we find Christian friends within this church to lead us or to help lead us and to be family with us. Lord, I pray that we're encouraged by Ruth and Naomi's friendship and that we learn from this story today. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, somebody's friend's calling already. As we go into this friendship series, I'm not going to discuss every detail of this book of Ruth. As I said before, I want us to focus on the friendship between Ruth and Naomi. And it's a great friendship. They have a set of circumstances. I want us to look at their circumstances, their response to the circumstances. I'm sorry, their circumstances, their actions, and their response and God's response to them. So what are the circumstances of this relationship? There has been much tragedy in their relationship already. There's been a lot of death. We know in chapter 1, Naomi encourages Ruth to stay in Moab. So Elimelech, the patriarch, has died. His sons have died. Now there's widows everywhere. And the mother-in-law is saying, "Hey, go back, start over, find you a new life, find you a new man's, and have a good life." And one of them says, "All right, I'll do that." And one of them says, "No, I'm going with you." So Ruth chooses to honor her mother-in-law by staying with her. Sandy, are you here today? Me and you have a relationship like this, don't we? I really love and respect my mother-in-law. She's right over there. I would follow you into the depths, Sandy. I see, I moved here. So Ruth chooses to honor her mother-in-law by staying with her. Ruth is also considering God in her decision. If you look at verse 16, "But Ruth said to Naomi, 'Do not urge me to leave you or return from following you. For where you go, I will go. For where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God.'" This is a bold one, Sandy. "Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts me from you." And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. So this is a powerful speech from Ruth. Do you all love your mother-in-law in the same way that Ruth loved Naomi? Now look at this sweetness going on over here. Look at this. Oh, that's great. Everybody can say, "Aw." So it is believed, based on Ruth's testimony here, that Ruth has been converted. She believes in the God of Israel, which is good news because she lived in Moab. I said I wasn't going to touch on Moab. Moab is the enemy of Israel. Moab was a country that was created out of sexual sin. Go back and read that for yourself. But Moab was a godless place, a lot of idolatry. So they're headed towards Israel. These are God's people. So both Naomi and Ruth believe in the God of Israel, same God we believe in. She says, Ruth says, that your God will be my God. They're headed to Judah, in which is one of the 12 tribes of Israel. So the circumstance was that Ruth and Naomi were leaving behind this godless country where tragedy had hit them, and the action was they were headed in the direction of God and His chosen people. Ruth was committing her life to God and was also honoring her commitment to Naomi's family and Naomi as she committed to this family through marriage, okay? My question to you all is, have you ever had friends that were headed in a godly direction and you didn't really know what the result was going to be, but you knew that they were headed in the right direction? I have friends like this, and these friendships were cultivated within my local church. Your mature, godly friendships are most likely going to happen within the local church. So the church I came from back in Springfield was very international missions focused, which I'm sure you all could tell my love for missions and international missions that started through my local church. Our church had a missions partnerships in Tanzania and Uganda, which are both countries in Africa, Fiji, Australia, and India. And about 5 years ago, they were gearing up to go to Tanzania, and I was not considering going. I don't like airplanes. That's pretty much the beginning and the end of that. I never desired to travel much. Just why? America, the beautiful. It's great here. I don't want to go to other places pre-Christ. I just want to exist here. I don't need to know what's going on in the rest of the world. And then God saved me and He said, go and make disciples. I'm going to get to that in a minute. So my whole mindset about travel has changed because I want to see the church in other countries. I want to help make disciples in other countries. So they're gearing up. The church is gearing up to go to Tanzania, and I'm not considering going. And my friend stopped me in the hallway and asked me, "Are you going to Tanzania?" And I was like, "No. Why would I?" I said, "No, I don't think so." I asked him why he was going, and his answer was simple. He said, "Because Jesus told us to go to all the nations and make disciples." That was the reason he was going to Tanzania. It was a very simple answer. It was a very biblical answer. And because of his answer, I took some time to think to myself, what excuse did I have to not go to this place with a group of my church family and friends? They were going because of their obedience to God. I didn't have a good excuse to not go. I had the time, I had the money, and I had salvation. I had the Holy Spirit within me to go on this trip. What I didn't necessarily have at the time was the biblical wisdom to know and understand why anyone would go on a trip like that. So Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, says, "Seek first the kingdom of God." The King James would say, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." So this means that above all else, we should be seeking to please the Lord in everything that we do. And that's why my friends were going to Tanzania to make disciples of all the nations. So I joined them on this trip. This was very much a Ruth and Naomi moment. At the time, I wasn't thinking of it this way, but Ruth says, "For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God." I didn't know where we were going. I didn't know who we were meeting when we got there. I didn't know where we were staying. All I knew was I trusted the group of people I was going with. I trusted that they had good intentions. I trusted that we weren't going to get our heads hacked off. I trusted that we weren't going to get violently ill. And if we did, I trusted the people that I was with to help take care of me. I had faith in God, and I had faith in my friends. Maybe too much faith in my friends. But I had faith in God, and I had faith in my friends. The same as Ruth and Naomi's story. Let's see here. Now, in the story of Ruth and Naomi, Ruth and Naomi were fleeing a tragedy. Bad things had happened, so they needed to leave the place where they were to seek a better life. In my story regarding this particular trip, I was not fleeing a tragedy. The tragedy for me would have been if I stayed home. If I would have stayed home from that one trip, my life would be different than it is today. The tragedy for me would have been choosing my own personal comfort over hopping on a plane, which I hate, with my friends to go see the church in a foreign land. The tragedy would have been magnified because, take this home with you, our decisions affect our lives. Our decisions affect our lives. The first time I ever preached a sermon, I was in Africa on this trip. My pastor gave me an opportunity to preach while we were there. Did I feel equipped to preach? No. Did I feel like I knew enough of the Bible to preach? No. Did I feel like there were people on the trip that would have been more effective? Yes. I definitely knew that these people didn't, English wasn't their first language. So I preached and they translated. And was I ready for that? No. But God had a plan in all of this. God sent me on that trip to build my confidence and trust in Him. And had I not gone on that trip, I wouldn't be in this building today telling you all this story. That trip sparked a love of God's church in me that I didn't have before. That trip sparked a love for Jesus in me that I didn't have before. Had I not gone on that trip, I would have never gone to Australia on the next trip that deeply impacted me. Had I not said yes to that trip, that Africa trip, I would not be pastoring this church. I know this for sure. I wouldn't have had the confidence and the trust in God that I have without having followed through in obedience during that season of life. And why did I follow through? I've already said it. One, because I wanted to be closer to God, the God that I trusted. And two, my friends modeled godly obedience to me. This is similar to the story of Ruth. Ruth had faith in God. We know this because of what we've read. She also trusted and respected Naomi as her elder friend. The good news is Ruth trusted God more than she trusted Naomi. Because we know this also, Naomi's original advice to Ruth was to go back to her mother's house in Moab, the godless place. So Naomi gave her some advice, and it wasn't necessarily godly advice because Ruth decided, no, I'm not going to do what you're saying because there's a more God-honoring choice. I'm going to go out of this godless place to the place where God loves the people. And that's what they both did together. So Ruth made it very clear. She was seeking the things of God. Naomi respected her decision and they traveled onward to Judah. In chapter 2, another big chunk of reading. So deep breath in, deep breath out. Now, Naomi had a relative of her husband, a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech. Everybody say Elimelech. It's kind of fun. Whose name was Boaz. That's a lot easier. Say Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him in whose sight I shall find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." And so she set out and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the clan of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem. And she said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered, "The Lord bless you." Then Boaz said to his young man who was in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" And the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered, "She is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. She said, 'Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves after the reapers.' So she came and she has continued from early morning until now, except for a short rest." Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Now listen, my daughter, do not go glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field that they are reaping and go after them. Have I not charged the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn." So Boaz is protecting Ruth. Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" But Boaz answered her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me. And now you left your father and mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given to you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." Then she said, "I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, though I am not one of your servants." And at mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come here and eat some bread and dip your morsel in the wine." So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed to her roasted grain, and she ate until she was satisfied, and she had some left over. When she rose to glean, Boaz instructed his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. And also put out some of the bundles for her, and leave it for her to glean, and do not rebuke her." Deep breath in. That was a good one, Parker. You still awake over there? All right. Verse 17, "So she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city. Her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She also brought out and gave her what food she had left over after being satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, "Where did you glean today, and where have you worked? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, "The man's name with whom I work today is Boaz." And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, may he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness was not forsaken, the living or the dead." Naomi also said to her, "The man is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers." And Ruth the Moabite said, "Besides, he said to me, 'You shall keep close by my young men until they have finished all my harvest.'" And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women, lest in another field you be assaulted." So she kept close to the young women of Boaz, gleaning until the end of the barley and wheat harvest, and she lived with her mother-in-law. Whew, that's a lot. So the point of the story is they've gone to this God-ordained place to meet this God-ordained person, Boaz, and Boaz is protecting Ruth, and Boaz is the person that they were aiming to meet, according to God. So God is blessing their circumstances. That's the response of all this. They had a circumstance, they took an action, and then God blessed the action, okay? We're trying to squeeze out of this story the highlights of the friendship between Ruth and Naomi by analyzing the circumstance they find themselves in, the action that they take because of their circumstance and their response and God's response to the circumstance of the action. So the circumstance, again, their family has died. They've gone from a godless place to the God of Israel. They're following God. Their response was that they were already, we see in this chapter 2, they're already being blessed by God because of their humble obedience. Now, side quest, this doesn't always mean that God blesses us immediately as He has blessed Ruth and Naomi. But Ruth and Naomi's story does highlight many great blessings. Why was God choosing to bless Naomi and Ruth so immediately? So, you might leave here today thinking, okay, as long as I follow God, He's going to give me a new husband, or give me a husband, or give me a new husband. Don't leave your husband. But we sometimes think we can, just because we're following God, things are going to go good all the time, okay? This is a pretty unique story, and things did go well for Ruth and Naomi. Not because of anything Ruth and Naomi did. Now, they were obedient, but God had a plan, a big time plan in the life of Ruth, okay? God had a far greater plan for Ruth and Naomi than they realized. God's aim, now this isn't the aim of Ruth or Boaz or Naomi, God planned this out for them. God's aim was to unite Ruth and Boaz as husband and wife, and Boaz would redeem their family. Not only would Boaz redeem their family, he would help redeem all humanity through the birth of Jesus. Now, those of you who have read this story for yourself know the end. And this is going to be a spoiler alert. But just like when you were standing in line to watch Titanic back in 2000, or whenever that was, we all knew the boat was going to sink, didn't we? Okay, I can't spoil a 2,000-year-old story. It's even older than that. You should have read it already by yourself. Okay, I'm reading it to you then. So, Jesus, I'm spoiling it, spoiler alert, Jesus is a descendant of Ruth and Boaz. Okay, Ruth and Boaz eventually get married and have a child named Obed. Obed had a son named Jesse. And Jesse had a son named David. And these were all, this is the same, by the way, this is the same David that killed Goliath. Jesus is in the direct lineage of David and Ruth and Boaz. So this God-ordained quest that Ruth and Boaz have gone on, the purpose for them was Ruth was going to have a husband. But the purpose for us is that Jesus was going to be born later on in the story and redeem all of humanity. And that's an amazing story. That this is just a little bitty detail in the story of Jesus's actual life on earth. So what is the big, I'm closing here, I think. So let's wake back up if we're asleep. What's the big picture of this friendship between Ruth and Naomi, and how should this impact our lives? So this is the part of the sermon where the application happens. And here's what I've got. I've already said it. Your decisions matter. God has a plan for your life. The same as He, before the beginning of time, He had a plan for Ruth's life and Boaz's life. And I hate to say it, but even Elimelech's life. He has a plan for all of us. Your obedience or your lack of obedience can and does affect future generations. Your desire to be close with God in the choosing and trusting of your friends matters as it relates to the will of God. So as we close today, I want you all to ponder, how does this story of Ruth and Naomi affect you? We've discussed the circumstances of their story, the actions of their story, and the response of Ruth and Naomi, and the response of God in their lives. So just, if you need to close your eyes during this to think more clearly, do it. But what are the circumstances of your current season of life? Maybe your circumstances are relational. Maybe you're having trouble with your spouse. Maybe you're looking for a spouse. Hopefully not. If you already have one, please don't do that. But if you're single and you're looking for a spouse, maybe that's where you're at. That's where your circumstances are. Maybe your circumstance is physical. Maybe you have an illness of some sort. Maybe you're pregnant with a baby. I know that we have some of that going on. Remember, Ruth and Naomi were headed towards God in their decision making. They were leaving Moab. They were leaving a godless life and headed towards a life with God in it. Are you headed in the direction of God during your circumstances, whether it be with your spouse, with your children, with your job, with your frustrations? We all have circumstances. Everybody in here has a story of some sort, good, bad, indifferent. We all have circumstances. Some of us are lonely. Some of us are depressed. Some of us are overwhelmed. Do you have a friend like Naomi or Ruth that is helping lead you in the godly direction of your circumstance? Maybe your circumstance is that you are seeking after God for the first time in your whole life. Are you telling people at this church about that? Are you asking questions? I've given you an opportunity to ask me any question. My phone number's right here. Pastor Brother Tink, not legal names, Hayden. My legal name is Thomas. Don't ever call me that. I won't answer you. But you can ask me, like, you can literally text me. When you text me, I'm not going to say, hey, John Skidmore sent me this message. I'll know who sent it, but I'm not going to tell everybody. You can ask a question. Hey, I don't have faith, but I've been coming to church for 3 weeks. What's next for me? What am I to do? Where should I go? What should I read? How should I pray? Why should I pray? Why should I read? What has happened in your life over the last 10 years as a Christian? These are all, ask any question that is going to lead you closer towards God. Ask me that question. If you don't want to ask me that question, there are many, many people here that can be a Ruth or Naomi in your life and hold your hand. And that's what we're here for. That's why we are here, to hold each other's hands and say, hey, we're walking this together. I have failed in this area, in this area, in this area, in this area. If you're smart, you will listen to my life because I really messed it up in these areas. And I can help you hopefully avoid the snags and the snares of the world through my own experience, if you just have the ears to hear, you know. So what are your actions going to be? Your actions will likely determine the result or response of your circumstances. So if you're new here, or if you're new to the faith, an action would be, hey, I'm going to get plugged in. I'm going to ask questions. I'm going to start reading the Bible for myself. If I'm uncomfortable with that, which is uncomfortable because it's hard to understand, pair up with somebody. It can be me. It can be Heather. It can be many other people that are here in this room. I can help you find somebody. Use my phone number and ask me that question. Because our actions impact future generations. I know we have new young families that are here. And I got into church because I had children. That was one reason. I thought, I don't even have faith in God, but I love my children. And for some weird reason, I feel like I should take them to church. And God produced fruit, abundant fruit, just in that one thing. But my encouragement to you all, you young families that are seeking to raise your kids in the Christian world, is plug in yourselves. You have to plug in. You have to start reading and seek to understand God's will for your life and your family's life. And that happens right here at the local church. Doesn't have to be this one, but this is the one you find yourself in. So it needs to be this one. Or go up the hill. I don't care where you go, but wherever you're at, you've got to plug in and walk hand in hand with people and let people be the Ruth or be the Naomi in your life. And because those two women were seeking after the Lord. And that's what we're doing here. We're all imperfect. Somebody said, it was this one right here. He said Wednesday night, he said, I like Tink because he's messed up a whole lot and he's a good example to us, or something like that. What were your exact words? I shamed you after that. Okay, good. Yeah. I just bowed my head and I'm like, yeah, I'm a total screw up. But I know what you mean. Like, without authenticity, this is all for nothing. If I stand up here and pretend like I've got everything figured out, I'm doing you all a disservice. I'm as sinful. I am naturally as sinful as anybody else. I've done all the stuff. I've consumed too much. I've chased too many females. I've done it all. Okay. Same as everybody else. But I've been saved by grace through faith in Jesus. And because of that, my life has changed and is changing. And that's what happens. We go from a dead sinner to an alive saint. We are saved. We have been saved by the blood of Jesus. So if you're new here, or if you've been here for 40 years and you've never asked hard questions about the faith and you're stagnant, let's get past that. We don't want to be in that stagnant water. Get past that. Ask, even if it's embarrassing, there's nothing to be embarrassed about. I'm telling you, I've been through it. I've been through all the hard questions. I've been asked hard questions. I've been confronted with my own sin a lot. And surprise, surprise, that is the Christian life. The more close you get with the Lord, the more you are going to be aware of your own sin. It used to be, oh, I drink too much. Oh, I lust after women. Now it's, oh man, it's even my thoughts. It's my thoughts. Why am I so critical of this person? I haven't even said anything out loud. Why am I so critical of what they're saying? Why am I so impatient with my wife? Why am these thoughts never stop? They just change some. You take when you're first saved, you take the big ones, the big obvious ones. I got to stop going to this place and doing these things, and then it turns into why is my heart so crooked? Why am I so? I'm not stealing anything from anybody, but man, I just don't love like I should. This never stops in the Christian life. It goes on until the day that you die. But the good news is God is making you holy over time. He's squeezing all this junk out of you so that you can love people better, so that you can be closer to Him, and your worldly desires will go away and your desire for Him will abundantly increase. And that is what affects the future generations. Amen. So Ruth and Naomi were obediently, physically going closer to God's presence. They left the place they were and went to another place. And God shined brightly on them in the big picture story and in their little life story. She met another man, redeemed their family. They had children and life was good again. And life is good for us because of this story, one of the many reasons, Jesus was born through the line of David, through the tribe of Judah, as it says in this book. He was born as our Redeemer, and He's the one that saves. And He's the reason I'm up here. He's the reason I went to Tanzania. He's the reason I'm at this church preaching. He's the reason people are being saved here. It has nothing to do with me or James or James's piano playing or Sandy's piano playing. It's all Jesus. Jesus is the one that saves. And if there's any practical advice I can give to people, there's a lot of people showing up here all of a sudden. A lot of new people, young people my age. Hear this. Just submit to doing life with each other, with us. Submit, like say, I want to go to a meal. I want to sit with you. I want to ask questions. We all have 10,000 things going on. So if you feel overlooked, like people aren't paying attention to you, just go up to somebody and say, hey, I'm new here. I want to get to know some people. I want to feel connected to this place. I promise you that request will not be ignored. Now, we are human and we might walk past you. This church is real good at getting to know people. But my prayer is that we will get even better at actually doing life together. And like we're at each other's Christmases and we're at each other's Thanksgivings. And many of us do this already. I'm really speaking about new faces that I'm seeing. Like this is a family church. So you can get connected as fast as you want. I promise. The next thing you know, you feel like you're too connected and you're like, wait a minute, let's back up. I'm just kidding. That's a joke. This is a great place, and there's many great people here, but you have to be vulnerable. You have to say, look, I'm new here. I want to be connected, and I want to know more about Jesus. Here's where I'm at. That's the biggest key. Here's where I'm at, and here's where I want to be. I still have places. I'm not necessarily where I'm at. I'm here at Bellevue. That's where I'm at. I'm not saying I want to go somewhere else physically. Spiritually, I want God to keep wrenching this sin out of my life so that I can look more like Him and be an example to other folks so that they might come to faith as well. Amen? So just submit to, I'm not saying submit to the church. I'm not saying, hey, we need your money to pay for HVAC units. We don't care about that stuff. We care about your soul. We care about your children. We care about your faith and your family and your love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. We want you to have the fruit of the Spirit, and it will change your life. The Holy Spirit, upon entering you, will change your life. And it might not happen like this. It can happen real slow and steady. I'm going on and on and on, and I'm going to stop. Okay, good. Thank you. I appreciate the encouragement. This is a fairly new person, most vocal person in the church. I'm not saying that's bad. It's encouraging to me. I'm like, am I putting these people to sleep? And I hear Cheyenne. I'm like, I'm not putting Cheyenne to sleep. She's listening. Thank you for that. I really do appreciate that. I'm glad you're here. Do you feel like this is, you come all the time? Thank you. Now it's your duty to help reach some of these other faces. You say, I used to be new here too. Now I'm the most vocal person in the whole church. I know. Me too. Depending on who you ask. Okay, I'm going to pray, and we are going to, I really just want you all to think, like, where am I at? How can this church help me mature in my faith? How can these friends here help me mature in my faith so that I can go from this old life to this new life where God is? That's where I want to be, okay? And that's where we all want to be. So let us help you, encourage you, and it's going to be an encouragement to us. I've been here for 2.5 years. I've never been more encouraged by the new faces that are showing up, just seemingly kind of randomly. I know it's not random because God obviously has a plan for all of us. So make yourself known and be vulnerable and be authentic and be sincere and watch God do what He does. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that we remain obedient to Your word and that we always go towards You, just as Ruth and Naomi did in their story. They went in Your direction as opposed to in the opposite direction. We see in the book of Jonah, Jonah went the opposite direction, and guess what You did with him? You did exactly what You wanted. You still fulfilled Your purposes, but it was a lot more miserable for Jonah than it was for Ruth and Naomi. Ruth and Naomi willingly followed the direction You wanted them to go, and we see immediate blessings. Lord, I just pray that we don't grumble as we carry along in our Christian walk, that we walk joyfully and faithfully, and others see that light and they're drawn to it, and that many people would be saved because of Your grace and our obedience. And Lord, I just pray that we understand that our decisions matter and our decisions affect our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren and so on down the list. Now, they might not write books about us, but every decision that we make will directly affect the next person in line. So I pray that we are praying for holiness in our lives and the lives of our children and our family, and that we continue to see many people saved and mature in this church. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.